there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, I'm Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Today, what we are talking about and where we're bringing you all into the conversation is a question of, are you moving forward with the glass half empty or the glass half full? And how do you approach your life and perspectives in living with multiple sclerosis?
And I think, Dan, you and I would be remiss if we didn't mention Michael Gerber and how his blog, when we first started blogging, he talked about the importance of perspective being everything. And I think that is true, that you and I have our own perspective. I think for the most part we're similar, but our way of handling multiple sclerosis, that's why perspective is so important.
And that's not to say one way is better than the other, but you look at me like you're ready.
I don't think one way is better than the other. I just think that sometimes perspective can really bug you down. You try and put on a positive persona, or if you feel like you're being completely negative, that makes you question if you're handling the disease correctly or handling it the best way possible.
Well, and then by the same token, I mean, let's just put it all out there. I mean, there's no question that I'm the eternal optimist.
and then does that mean there's no question that I'm the pessimist?
And you're not, and I don't think it's a question of you being a pessimist. Do you think you're a pessimist?
I don't think I'm a pessimist. There are moments where your eternal optimism, I love you so very much.
It annoys but the hell out of me.
It doesn't, excuse me, I got super loud there.
Emphatic.
It doesn't annoy the hell out of me. It's just sometimes, and I'm sure people out there listening can feel the same way. There are just moments when just let me be grouchy and angry and mopey and sad. And I appreciate that you want to pick me up, and vice versa. I mean, you do have your surly moments, Mr. Dan, and you have those moments.
Point.
Those moments. I mean, you'd be a liar, or you wouldn't be dealing with this disease if you didn't have your moments where you're troubled by the disease. So, in those times, thank God we have each other to pick each other up.
And tear each other down. But it is. But I think that's, you know, we're looking at just reading things, seeing people posts. And I mean, that's where I fail, or I'm not forthcoming, because I see, you know, it is a question of what's positive, what's negative, what's real, and how do we allow and give everybody, including ourselves, that grace to be one way or the other. I think that there's just the point that I tend to be I don't want to say my glass is overflowing, but because this is not a happy disease. I mean, let's just put that out there straight up. It's not a happy disease, but I think in terms of how I move forward with things, I think that's where this isn't just a question about multiple sclerosis. This is just a question about life and how we deal with life. I mean, for me, it's MS obviously is a big part of life, but the thing is, it's not all of my life. Am I just talking? Is that making sense? I mean,
It makes sense that it's not all of your life, and that it's a huge part of you. It's a huge part of anyone who's diagnosed with a chronic illness, particularly multiple sclerosis. I know that disease. I know what it does to you, and the uncertainty. And so I think that that's why because you and I have had those conversations before. When you see other people that are diagnosed with chronic illness or, you know, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they don't start a podcast talking about it typically, or maybe they do because I don't live in that space. But I know with multiple sclerosis, so many of us are vocal in talking about the disease. I just think that this, once you are diagnosed, the disease creeps into every cell of your being. And
true.
And as much as you can say you don't talk about it all the time,
here we are in a podcast.
Exactly. And I think the glass is half full for both of us. But, you know, there are those days. We had this conversation. You and I talk a lot.
Well, because we're married and we live together.
Yeah, that's true. But we were having this talk that you do come at things from a very optimistic point of view. And I think I'm an optimist as well. But when the disease is wearing you down, as it does at the end of the day when you're tired, or early in the morning when you don't want to get up, then you're just, your persona, your perspective changes. Or when you're really, really tired. We had a friend talking to us today about fatigue and just when you're always tired living with multiple sclerosis, that can change your perspective. Or just being honest with everyone out there, I have been living with so many urinary issues, urinary tract infections, and my Botox for my bladder. And that is something, you know, that can tire you out, and that can change your perspective, because you're just like, you come at things from a different kind of negative place.
Well, and then it's a question of when you're dealing with everything, when you're dealing with negativity, and this isn't, I don't mean negative in the sense, I mean, but when you're dealing with challenging things all the time, it's really hard to stay pessimistic or optimistic, I'm sorry.
It's really easy to stay pessimistic. Really,
I mean, but it is. It's just like when you're having a bad day, even little unicorn Danny coming in and blowing sunshine everywhere. It's just like, that's the last thing anybody wants to hear. So I think that's something where I've learned my lesson over, you know, 18 years of marriage, of just like, now's not the time, Dan. But it is, and that's, you know, when we say, oh, I'm the eternal optimist, but that's not to say that you're the eternal pessimist, but it is just because I do, you know, depending on the day, but I'm always trying to find the bright spots.
I think we all need to find the bright spots, and that makes living with this disease easier. It's it's a good way to manage the disease, is to try and find the bright things, the moments of joy, the things to look forward to, you know, to get you out of being stuck in the disease, because that's a really dark place to live in. And as much as I can say it, it's really hard if you get to that place where you're comparing yourself to others, or you're seeing the success of your friends or the families of your friends or their jobs. Or if you start comparing yourself to others, I think that perspective, it's not a good one, not a good one at all.
And to then my point, it's just like, is that just in life in general? I mean, whether you're living with multiple sclerosis or not, that's what I loved about running when I used to run. It's like, I wasn't competing with other people. It was like, I was competing against me, you know, and in my head, I'm competing against multiple sclerosis. But it's just like, you know, then it's like, you are your competition. You are the, the thing that builds you up, tears you down, and becomes very personal. But it's also then being open to talking to other people and learning those methods and learning to be optimistic. When you were diagnosed, now I'm just jumping all over the place, but it's just like when you were diagnosed back in 1997, were you hopeful? Were you optimistic? I mean, obviously, obviously an MS diagnosis is never a good thing. I mean, granted for me, and I think for a lot of people living with the disease, there was a lot of, I think one of the common responses is a sense of relief. And for me, it was like, at last, I know what's wrong. Let's attack it. Let's fix it. Let's do what we can to control it. There's other people who I've heard people say that they're saying, oh, well, this way, what I was dealing with, I wasn't making it up. There was something wrong.
Right. I think, I hate it when I say that. When I was diagnosed, I really thought it would be managed just with some Zymendrol. I was ignorant about it. It was 1997. There wasn't the number of treatments available, the knowledge, the understanding, if you can understand a chronic mysterious illness that like they do now. But back then, I honestly thought, I'll just go have some more Zymendrol. That'll make it better. I didn't realize that wasn't making it permanently better. The reality that this disease does not have a cure. This is going to be your lot in life for the rest of it. And so I think there was a little ignorance, and maybe that helped make it better. And at the same time, being ignorant like I was made it possible or made it manageable. And now that I know you and we're married and we have this podcast, I try and be informed, and certainly I don't live in that ignorant place anymore. But in the beginning, that helped. I guess.
It's like on some levels, ignorance is bliss. I mean, and that's because, yeah, when the doctor first said, that the cause of your symptoms most likely is multiple sclerosis. And that was all, and I'm just being eternal optimist. Oh, well, thank you, doctor. That's good to know. Well, we'll keep doing this. And it wasn't until I hung up that it's just like that I realized this isn't a cold that's going to go away. This is with me for the rest of my life. And you don't know what this is going to look like. And so, then it's like I put the glass on the table and start filling it up because, like, I need all the help I can get. And
that, how have you in all of these years, I mean, you talk about it, and I don't know about for you, but just talking about my diagnosis, it, like, instantly took me back to that place of 26 years ago. But how, I mean, for you, do you go back to when you were diagnosed? And if so, how have you moved forward? How have you not stayed stuck in that spot? How have you maintained an optimistic attitude?
Well, I think faith, I mean, just, having, prayers and faith, and, I've had tons and tons, countless talks with God, just in the prayers and trying to sort things out. I think that, truly, obviously there's talks of optimism and everything, but one of the biggest things that taught me a lesson in terms of being optimistic, really, or at least being gracious and dealing with what's in front of me and counting my blessings, it actually was with work one time. And I honestly, I can't say when, I don't remember which it was, but I honestly think it was when I worked here at Central, here up at CMU, going into work one morning. And I was so stressed and I was so angry and so frustrated because I had so much work to do. Actually, no, you know what? This was back as I'm talking it out loud, you know, thinking, well, why, how did this happen? It was when I worked for the Catholic Weekly and I had an hour commute over to the office. So this is before I was diagnosed. And I was thinking, I got this deadline. I have to do this story and this blah, 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 and I'm going to do it. And I was so crabby and angry, and I get out to get in the car, and I had a flat tire. And it's like at that point in time, all I could think is like, and you thought you had so much going on, Dan, and now you can't do any of it. You cannot touch it. You can't even get to the office. You've got to call. You got to have somebody come and fix your tire. You got to get a new tire. You're that much further behind. You've lost all this time because you had to fly a tire. And what you wouldn't give to be able to have just shut your mouth, get to work, and get going on it. And so then, you know, and that was just such a good lesson for me. And that's, you know, carried me through a lot. That it's just like, and so when we talk about things and I say, oh, well, you know, if the weather's bad, I'm like, well, at least it's not raining, or at least it's not snowing, and at least it's not this, because in my mind, I'm always thinking back that time that I had all that stuff to do, and then you get a flat tire, and just thinking what I wouldn't give to just be able to have to do that work, and now I've got a flat tire on top of all that work. So it's just like, shut your mouth and deal with it and be happy with what you have. And so, you know, when I have all the EMS stuff and I'm not being, what's the word? I'm not looking past it, but I'm all, you know, I think that's partially why I don't complain. Cause I'm just like, I don't want to have it to where, what was I complaining about? Because I don't have a flat tire and I can deal with this. And so
that's a really wonderful perspective. And thank you for sharing that story, because sometimes it's, it can be frustrating when I'm having those down moments. And Dan, when you say, oh, if I'm complaining, oh, it's raining outside, and you'll say, well, at least it's not snowing, or I can't lift my fork up to my mouth. Well, you did feed yourself yesterday. And so sometimes that can be difficult, but it's good. Thank you for sharing that about the tires. And you're right. You could always have something more to complain about. And that's where I think it's, you know, we have written in the past about toxic positivity. Mm-hmm. And there's such a fine line. I don't ever think you're toxic positivity. And that's a place where I have a hard time thinking of someone being positive being toxic. Mm-hmm. I think that positivity is positive. If anything is toxic, it's me when I'm being, you know, I don't want to hear that kind of person. So it's good perspective and it's a good thing. I would be remiss if when we're talking about the glass half empty or half full, if I didn't mention my friend Nora. And I was talking with her mom one day about glass half empty, half full. And her mom said, well, if you were Nora would say, well, this isn't the glass I ordered, or this isn't the drink I ordered. So I think that really helps with perspective, is to surround yourself with friends. And being married to you, I know that it helps my perspective to be, you know, to have somebody that has a good head on their shoulders and a good outlook.
Well, and that's the thing, is I don't try to be, because in terms of toxic positivity, it's not, as I understand it, but it's not allowing the person to have their moments and to not let them be angry or frustrated. And you're just trying to, being dismissive of their feelings. And so it's like, you know, when I'm trying to, you know, say, oh, well, it's not raining, or at least you could do this. And that's never to undermine the experience so much as it's like just trying to provide a perspective to give you some light at the end of the tunnel, if that may be, because we live in dark times when we're living with this disease. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as optimistic as I am, there's a lot that goes through my head, you know, in terms of just sorting things out and trying to make sense or finding the bright spots. So I just, you know, some days the glass is a little more empty than others.
And you have to respect that. You have to try and fill your glass up. And I'm fortunate that I have you to help me do that. And I don't want to make myself sound like, oh, I'm so sad or I'm so dark all the time. It's just that's a reality for those of us living with MS. We need to give ourselves that grace, that acceptance that when you're having those moments, it is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to stay in them forever. And there are so many resources out there on the internet, in support groups, in books, so many ways to read about reframing your thinking. So I think perspective is an important thing to think about and to talk about. And
So you did not know me, and I'm not the savior. That's not what I'm saying, but it's like you didn't, you know, in terms of like me being the eternal optimist, or then me with you. I mean, a lot. Well, I say everything when things are challenging, when things are difficult, and making everybody in listener land throw up in their mouths. But it's like knowing that I have you with me. That's what inspires and motivates me, and knowing that I have you, that I don't own you. That's not what I'm saying, but
right.
But you're my BFF, and we're here. So that's just like, and I always feel that I have you, we're together, and I can get through anything with you and with your help. But you hadn't always been there. Like, you know, 2 years that, you know, I went 2 years of being diagnosed with MS before Jennifer entered the picture. You had it for 5 years before Dan came to town. I mean, when I asked what kept you at least optimistic or positive, and it was it back to your, you know, ignorance is bliss, or, you know, when, because you say, oh, in 5 years, this will be cured. You hit the 5 year mark. What kept you going?
Oh, wow. That's a toughie. I think my family, my friends, I'm not to sound pathetic, but what else do I have to do? I mean, I don't have any other choice. You have to just put one foot in front of the other. And,
I mean, you know, because I know you and I met at, you know, Finding Your Buried Treasure, and, you know, and there were everybody in the at the event got little treasure boxes that were decorated so beautifully and handcrafted.
Thank you.
And you had just the little beads that you had to hot glue onto these treasure chests. And I know even when before we were dating, you were just talking about how challenging that is. And I'm thinking now with MS and numb fingers that I can't, you know, I have a hard time buttoning a button on my shirt, that you're gluing these little like minuscule beads on there.
I forgot about that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up bad memory.
No, that's okay.
But as you're doing this, you know, and that's frustrating. And obviously you were one of the program organizers, but what kept you to push through? Or is that where you just think, I have no choice? You could have flipped the table and said, forget about it.
It was the prospect of, this is going to be a really good event, and this is something I really believe in. And I suppose that's a good reminder to all of us that we're doing what we're doing because eyes on the prize. There is something, and maybe that's hope, and that goes back to you and I being eternal optimists, but there's hope that there is better around the corner. And I believe now more than ever that there is good stuff on the horizon for those of us living with MS, that there will be better ways to treat it. I remember 5 and a half years after I was diagnosed, I was reclassified, if that's the word, that I was no longer relapsing, remitting. I was secondary progressive. There was no medication to treat that form of multiple sclerosis. I remember how bleak that felt, like, holy crap. I'm, what, 28 years old, that I have nothing. And now look at all the medication that's available, not only for relapsing, remitting, and secondary progressive, but primary progressive MS has medication. That there are things on the horizon. There are so many medications available. We don't even know all the names of them. You know, it used to just be ABC, and now, look, you know, there's like an alphabet.
I was going to say, there's pretty much enough letters in the alphabet. I mean, not that they count for, but yeah.
So that perspective helps. And it is the community that just, you aren't so isolated like you were when, and even then, back in the old days, you know, we had support groups, and now we have online and virtual. So perspective is, it's a good conversation to have, is where are you coming at the treating of your disease and how you're managing your disease.
And I think then as you talk, it's like giving yourself that look forward to, you know, what keeps you to make things less about multiple sclerosis and more about just people. And I mean, and you have the people then to help you move forward with the disease and to help you keep your glass half full or overflowing.
I think that's a wonderful transition, Mister.
Yes, ma'am.
You have something kind of big that you're looking forward to that I'm looking forward to because I don't have to do the work. So yeah, what's going on with you, man?
Well, ma'am, I the end of this month, I'm starting a new master program. It'll be a Master of Arts in Leadership from Wartburg College, whereas my original alma mater, where I got my undergrad back in Iowa, it's a totally online program, 2 years. And the hope and goal is that, you know, when I finish it, I will walk at commencement, and that will mark 30 years since I walked across the stage, as it were, to get my undergrad. And it's just like, you know, those are things, and this is just very much for professional development, personal enrichment, everything, just because, just from the sense that when we're living with multiple sclerosis, with the disease, with life, it's like just never stop learning. And what I love about this is I'm going to be learning, and it's going to be not about multiple sclerosis. And so it's just finding things in your life, in your world, that goes beyond the disease. I mean, obviously, my foundation and what I've been doing, there's a lot of multiple sclerosis in there. And that's just something we've done to make it ours, rather than being a victim. I don't want to say a victim of, but just as somebody who's beat down by MS, it's like, I'll give the disease the beat down myself. And so it's just like, how do I win? Again, that comes back to the competition and running. And just this program totally spoke to me. And so I'm excited. Do I need another master's degree? Sure. I mean, this gives me focus and gives me inspiration. It gives me a challenge. And so, yeah, that's, remind me of this and make me to listen to this section of the podcast every time I'm like pulling an all-nighter as a 50-year-old. So, but yeah, so I'm excited about that. And again, that just goes beyond multiple sclerosis. Will MS stand in my way? No, it's along for the ride.
And you remind yourself of that. I mean, what are you going to need to do differently? We don't have to discuss this right now, but just the reality, you're going to have to do some things differently. You do have a full-time job. You are my full-time caregiver. Oh, and by the way, you have multiple sclerosis. So you're going to have to you're going to have to manage things.
So I figure out how to fill up my glass after that one. But yeah, I mean, but you know, but it's like the comfort knowledge that I have, you know, I'm surrounded by great people, you know.
And that this is in your control. And maybe that is something, I don't know, for those of you out there listening, control is pretty important. And is this a good thing? I mean, certainly it's a good thing because it's a program that you are interested in and that's important to you. But is it also that you're like, look at this, look at me control and learn, and is something good that I can still do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so excited for you, Bay.
I'm excited too. And so I think that's, and so with that, I mean, it is just a question for everybody out there listening. I mean, it's just like, what's your take on the disease? And are you seeing it as, you know, things being half full, half empty? How do you retain your optimism? How do you give yourself the grace to be angry and pessimistic, and then the strength to dig yourself out of it? And how do you venture on to make things in your life less about multiple sclerosis and more about just life and everything? And, you know, is it going back and getting a master's degree? Is it just watching TV? Is it reading a book? Is it giving that escape and reading? What are your tips and tricks that you do to move forward with the disease?
I'm smiling because I'm so happy that we're moving forward, and this is a really exciting, an exciting way. My baby's going back to school. So thank you very much for listening today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Be sure to subscribe, rate us, and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about in future episodes. You can email us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com or follow us on our blog, coupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.